I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. As we look at the meaning of the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And that one which is similar to it, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we've been looking at Mark and we've been following along and we've seen that the Lord has been confronted with four groups of people, and today's group is the final of that four, or at least one of them, which is the scribe. Initially we looked at the Pharisees and the Herodians, how they came together and they questioned Jesus about taxation. And then we looked at the Sadducees who questioned the Lord with regard to marriage. Of course, now we come to the scribe who appears to have some insight into what the word is really all about. And this ability to see comes from the fact that the Lord has been able to dispel the Pharisee and the Herodian within us, then he has been able to dispel the Sadducee, and now that faculty which is represented by the scribe is able to begin to see what the word is all about. So in dispelling those different groups, it is the Lord working in us by means of truth and goodness. And as that begins to operate within our heart and life, so our selfishness becomes more apparent to us, and we can see what it is we must fight against. That is the Pharisee and the Herodian. And then the Lord moves to dispel the appearances that we become trapped in. This is the Sadducee who saw that there is no resurrection. There cannot be any resurrection because the level of thought and perception was grounded at the lowest level in the senses. But once the Word, or the Lord by means of truth, and that truth in us is the Lord present within us, dispels those ideas, so the reasoning faculty, which is represented by the scribe, is able then to take the Word and begin to see it spiritually, at least come to the gate. Remember, the Lord said to the scribe that he was near to the kingdom of God. So we're going to be looking at this in a little bit more detail as we go through. So our first reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. And we're reading chapter 6, verses 4 through 25. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." The second reading is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no greater commandment than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. And just reading from the service sheet, from the Heavenly Doctrines, from the work The Arcana Celestia, paragraph 9936. "You shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. You shall bind these words as a sign onto your hand, and let them be as frontlets between your eyes." As frontlets stands for as a sign of love to Jehovah God. The words between your eyes are used because intelligence and wisdom, which are born from that love, are meant by eyes. And wisdom born from that love consists in having God constantly before one's eyes. This is self-evidently. So because the subject is love to Jehovah God, the declaration that they should love him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength means that they should do so with all their human powers. With the heart means with the will, where the good of love resides, and with the soul means with the understanding where the truth of faith resides, and so with faith. These two powers belong to the internal man. With all their strength means with those powers of will and understanding as they exist in the external man. The strength and power of the love of both of the external man and of the internal man are meant by hands. And this is why it says that those words were to be bound as a sign on the hand. So what is it that dispels these aspects of the self that we've been looking at over the last few weeks? Well, it is truth, taking hold of truth. And the first truth that the spiritual life is founded upon is that there is a God, and that that God is Jesus Christ. Another truth is that all life flows into us, and that we are not the source of life, but we are recipients of life. Yet that life appears as our own, and this is the Lord's gift to us. That there is a life after death, that heaven and hell are realities, and that it is through the choices we make in this life with regard to those aspects of our selfishness that determine where we will be in the life to come, what our state will be. In using truths like this, drawn from the Word and from the teachings of the Church, so that faculty here represented by the scribe, which is our reasoning faculty, for the scribe was one who took the Word, explored it, examined it in minute detail, and drew from it doctrine. And so that faculty within us, once freed from self-centeredness and a material outlook, can be released and can see that the Word does indeed have a case against these arguments that are raised up by the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees. And so it is the scribe, seeing that Jesus dealt with them well, approaches him and asks him the question, which of the commandments is the greatest? And that word, which is the first commandment, that word first means that which is foremost. What is the first principle, the leading principle, the principle of spiritual life that interweaves the whole of the Word and the teachings of the Church? What commandment, what law governs the whole process of spiritual life within our very hearts and minds? What principle underpins all else? Well, the Lord responds. And remember, this questioning of the scribe is our questioning of the Word, because the Lord is the Word. And so as we bring this questioning to bear upon the Word, so the Word will begin to speak. We will receive an answer. We will begin to see that the foremost commandment, the thing that underpins all life, is the commandment, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And you shall be loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You see, love lies as the foundation of all else. Love is what is permanent. It is the only thing that is permanent. But we cannot receive the Lord's love in and of itself. It is too great for us. It is far beyond us. And so the Lord brings to us truths. Truths are something we can get a hold of. Principles are something we can get a hold of. And this great truth which the Lord lays out here is something our minds can grasp. It is a commandment to love the Lord above all else. And of course we need to ask ourselves then, what is the Lord that is to be loved? The work, the Divine Love and Wisdom, states clearly that the Lord is divine love and divine wisdom. And so in Jesus, or the Word, commanding us to love the Lord above all else, what he is saying is that we are to love love and wisdom. We are to hold love and wisdom above everything else. And that this is to be the foundation of our life. And if we make this the foundation of our life, so we make the Word the foundation of our life. Because they're inseparable. And if we make the Word the foundation of our life, we make the Lord Jesus Christ the foundation of our life. And so every action, every word spoken, everything we do must come back and be submitted to this commandment. Is what I am doing truly a reflection of the Lord's love and wisdom as I understand it? It is a simple task to reflect on these things. Well, it's simply said, very difficult to actually do on a moment-by-moment basis. But the truth is given because there is nothing in us, in and of ourselves, that will obey the Lord's commandments. The faculty that was created within mankind, the will by which good could be received and felt and acted upon, has been destroyed. And so what we feel as good prior to coming into spiritual knowledge and truth, what makes us feel good are those things tied to us getting our own way. Getting our own way, operating from a selfish principle, feels good. And all we have to do is reflect on when we're operating out of that to see that this is true. So what has been destroyed within us is the ability to feel what is truly good. Because we feel our own selfishness as good. And the Word teaches us that that is in fact evil. And so we call evil good. And because the human condition is such that it calls evil good, the Lord has to come in a way that we can receive Him. And He comes in the way of truth, by means of truth. So despite what I feel as good, I can always refer to what I know to be true and examine that feeling and the actions that proceed from it and make a call as to whether they are actually good or not. And this is the purpose of truth. Truth is there to teach us what real good is all about. Now these commandments aren't abstract things. These commandments are the laws of life. And whether people accept them or not, the reality remains the same. These commandments, being the laws of life, govern impulses that flow into us, seeking to draw us towards becoming truly human, truly compassionate, merciful, giving. from the right sort of motives. And it is only as we love and hold in high esteem love and wisdom that we will be drawn into the right path. And if we do not love and hold in esteem love and wisdom, but reject it and move towards our own selfish aspects, then we will meet all sorts of problems on the road of life. We will reach points where we enter into despair, can't handle what's going on, because we have moved out of the way of love and wisdom, and are journeying on the road of selfishness, which resists the very laws of life that are flowing in all the time. Is it any wonder then that we would experience the fallout of resisting the very flow of life? It's like swimming upstream. It's like having a virus in a software program that causes it to malfunction and not operate as it should. Are we operating as we should? Are we being drawn into that way which places love and wisdom above all else? Of course, we are to love with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And what we see there is that there are no half measures. What the Lord is saying here is that we must be committed totally to what we understand love and wisdom to be. And it's in that commitment and that willingness to bring it forth, to make it stand forth in our life, that we are able to move into greater and more fuller experiences of the heavenly life. You see, we all worship something. We all hold something in high esteem. And we basically compare that down to either the Lord or love and wisdom is that which we will serve, or it is self with all its destructive tendencies. Will we serve those emotions we don't seem to have any control over? Will they dominate our lives? Or will we look to the Lord to free us from those? Will judgmental and critical attitudes, will they dominate and rule our lives? Or will we look to the Lord to have these things recognized in our life and dealt with so they no longer impact on us and those around us? And so it is, Jesus refers to the next aspect of the greatest commandment, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But think about it like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is yourself. Your true self, that self which is grounded and rooted in the Lord Himself. You see, spiritually, the neighbor is that which is closest to us. And this isn't the guy next door. He who is closest to you is who? It is the Lord. The Lord is the one who is closest to you. and the Lord is the neighbor in the highest sense. And what is the Lord? Love, mercy, compassion, and goodness. If you love these things, then you love the neighbor. And so it is not about loving the person next door, it's about loving their potential for love, mercy, compassion, and goodness. It's about loving their potential, or those qualities that are within them, not the person in and of themselves. The same goes for any aspect that is derived from the human form. Organizations such as the church, governments, these things take on the human form, being extensions of ourselves. Our country, loving our country. But it is not loving our country, it's loving the potential for goodness in our country, which is loving the neighbor. Loving the church's potential for goodness is loving the neighbor represented by the church. And so we must always bring it back to those qualities that are founded in the Lord. They are the neighbor that are to be loved. So if I'm interacting with somebody, I should be looking to check my own motives, that I am operating from love, mercy, compassion, goodness, and that I am looking to draw forth from them what is good and true. Or to build within them the potential for what is good and true. Because if I function this way, then I allow the Lord to operate within my life. I allow the Lord to take control. In fact, in loving my neighbor in this way, I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we see then why these two commandments form the greatest commandment. For in essence, they are one. They are one and the same. And so operating from that ground, we bring order into our thinking. And this is represented here by the scribe, who is able to see that these commandments, the Lord's answer, is greater than all the sacrifices and burnt offerings of the Jewish religion. Understand that in the literal sense, this is a massive, massive point of enlightenment for this person who is steeped and embedded within a religion that puts its emphasis on sacrifices and burnt offerings. And here comes some enlightenment to this person, that they see that these things are mere representative aspects of these two commandments that the Lord has just given, the greatest commandment. And so it constitutes a massive shift, and it's the same shift that can occur within us. The Lord is one, integrated, whole, complete. So is the Word. You see, when you come from the right motivation, all these appearing disjointed stories and laws and books, they all begin to take on a completeness, a wholeness. They become related, no longer disjointed. And we begin to see how it is we are to love. What it is to love appropriately and effectively, no longer governed by our need, our want, but looking to build the Lord's kingdom. And this scribe, could not argue with that response, nor could those standing around. Who can argue with putting love and wisdom in the highest place in your life? Who can argue with that? You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who would say otherwise. But that should not be held in the highest place in a person's life. And if we hold that in the highest place, so we become truly human. It silences all the arguments. Hence it is said that they didn't trouble the Lord anymore. They couldn't respond anymore because they knew what he said was true. So there is no contention with the Lord now as to doctrine. The emphasis is on love. And that should be our own approach to life. Not disputing doctrine as the Pharisees and the scribes did, down to minute detail, and then developing further books full of ways that you had to go about living your life in order to be holy and pure. No. All the things in the Word point to one thing. Love, because love is one. Love is whole. And in the inner way, the spiritual life, there is no argument. So is it any wonder that his critics were silenced? To love the Lord and to love our neighbour, this has to do with loving, mercy, goodness, compassion, these qualities. Loving these things is what loving the neighbour is all about. These things are the neighbour, because these things are the Lord within us. So let us give them his due.